Castle Rock Radio, the future of radio.
Welcome to Food Integrity Now, advocating integrity in our global food supply. One of the things that, well, first of all, I'm Susan Wright. I'm one of your hosts, and I'm here with Matt Spaeth.
Hi, Susan.
Hi. One of the things that we try to do, it's a big goal of ours, is to not only educate about the food industry and the unhealthy practices used in growing food, but also to advocate and promote companies that provide good, healthy, pure, clean food. It's really important to have that alternative these days. And to support those companies means that we get to influence the industry and possibly having more companies wanting to provide that clean, healthy food for us. So we're very pleased to have on the show Randy Hartnell of Vital Choice Seafoods. Randy, welcome.
Hi, Susan and Matt. Good to be here.
Good to have you. First of all, tell us about Vital Choice. Tell us how you started the company and just tell us what your mission is.
Sure. Well, for 20 years, I was a commercial salmon fisherman in Alaska. And up until about 10 years ago, I was a job that I loved and would probably still be doing it, except that farm salmon came on the scene and essentially took over all of our markets. And although we had this wonderful resource that was abundant and well managed and of course one of the healthiest foods on earth, nobody really wanted to pay what it took to produce that. So we couldn't make a living at it anymore, and I was forced to leave fishing, sell my boats, lay off all my crews, and go out and try to find something else to do. And that entailed kind of a long story, but basically what I did was I would go out and I would try to explain to people the difference between wild and farm salmon and why they should look for wild. And, of course, at that time, people would say, well, where can I find wild salmon? And there were very few options. Almost no grocery stores were selling it. All the restaurants had defaulted to farm salmon. And so one day, after about the 10th time somebody had asked me that, and I didn't have a good answer, a light bulb went off, and I said, well, I could ship you some. And that eventually culminated in Vital Choice, which is our online company that provides Alaska seafood. We have customers all over the country, and my experience in the industry allows me to source the very best of what's available and make it available to customers all over the country.
Randy, tell us about some of the principles that your company is founded on.
Well, we, I guess first and foremost, you know, we live by the golden rule. We buy fish and sell fish that we want, you know, that we want to eat ourselves. In fact, we have about between 20 and 30 employees now, including many family members, and so we're our own best customers. So, of course, the first principle is to buy the very best quality products that we can find. We also focus exclusively on fish that are sustainably certified or come from fisheries that are well managed. And by that, I mean in most cases they are certified sustainable by an independent third party. In most cases, it's the Marine Stewardship Council, which I think is probably the very best and most reliable organization. They're based in London, and they've been around about 12 or 14 years. We've been working with them since the very beginning, and most of our products are certified by the Marine Stewardship Council as originating from sustainable, well-managed fisheries. The other principle is we know that a lot of consumers are concerned about contaminants. There's been a lot of publicity, a lot of headlines about mercury in seafood, and So we have always focused on species that are known to be the very purest. So we have a little tagline that we use, wild, pure, and delicious. And we only sell wild seafood as opposed to the farmed. We look for the purest fish, and then, of course, the ones that are sustainably harvested and taste good. And because of that, I think it's, you know, those things together are responsible for our success. We've grown every year that we've been in business. Even last year, in a hard economy, we continued to grow. So,
Good
formula.
Wild salmon definitely tastes. You can tell the difference between the taste of wild and farmed. I can't stand the taste of farmed.
I agree.
Salmon.
Yeah, it's a whole, you know, it's you are what you eat, and fish are what they eat, and they're fed, the farm fish are fed an entirely different diet, of course. And so while they do have the omega-3 fats everybody's looking for, they also have a large amount of saturated fat, much, much more than in wild salmon. So it gives it an entirely different flavor profile.
What are some of the other differences? I've heard that there's some negative aspects with the quality of the water that the fish is swimming in for the farm salmon.
Well, there are nutritional differences that are significant. More and more, I think you're going to begin hearing about, if you haven't already, about not only the omega-3s but the omega-6s and the balance. You want a balance of those two types of fats because they have different roles in our bodies. And the wild salmon have lots more omega-3s than omega-6s. The farm salmon have much more omega-6, and that's primarily because they're fed a lot of grain. So there are significant nutritional differences. Of course, there's the whole issue with the coloring, the artificial means by which the farm salmon are colored, and you've got the specter of GMO salmon on the horizon here. Mm-hmm.
What's happening with that? Have you seen any movement? It hasn't gotten any headlines lately.
I know it's been a couple months. It was in the news here not too long ago, and what I know is that I think about 8 or 9 years ago, the company that that's been trying to move it to the market had about 8 or 9 hurdles that they had to cross over, and they've crossed over almost all of them, and it was getting ready to come to market, and there was such a hue and cry from consumers that it's on hold for the time being. But I don't know exactly where it is right now. The biggest objection a lot of people have is that as the laws were written, they wouldn't have to label it GMO salmon. So you could go into the store and you wouldn't really know what you were getting. And that's not good for anybody.
No.
But the other thing, in addition to the nutritional differences, and this is really where my passions lie, are the environmental differences. Farm salmon is generally raised, you know, in open pens. So any disease, the pesticides or antibiotics or parasites that tend to accumulate around salmon farms make their way out into the environment. And in some cases, those pens are, and oftentimes those pens are placed in areas where the wild salmon pass through. Migration routes. There's been quite a bit of evidence showing that it's taking a serious toll on the wild salmon populations in some area. And in fact, I had lunch with a scientist from Norway just last week, and he told me that you know, we would be crazy to have farmed salmon near our wild salmon species, because in Norway the farm their wild stocks have been decimated by the farm.
Why is that?
Industry. Just what I said. You know, a good example is in British Columbia, on the coast. They've got a large number of salmon farms that are placed in the waters that the young salmon, when they come out of the rivers in the spring, they have to migrate through these farms that are, or these salmon farms, on their way to the open ocean. And so you've got these little smolts that are just a few inches long, and they migrate past these salmon farms, and they pick up the parasites.
Like the fish, isn't there something like fish lice? I've heard of that, that they really...
Yes, they're called sea lice commonly.
Sea lice,
And for any of your listeners that are interested, you need only Google farm salmon and sea lice, and you'll find lots of things on the internet about that. But anyway, these little parasites attach themselves to the wild salmon smolt in lethal numbers, and they don't do too well. And it's interesting in British Columbia because you have a lot of salmon that come down out of the Fraser River, and Vancouver Island is right there, so they either go right north up around Vancouver Island and all these salmon farms, or the ones that take a left go directly around the south end of Vancouver Island and through waters that don't have any salmon farms. And generally those salmon tend to come back in greater numbers. That's one anecdotal bit of evidence. There are big investigations going on presently. Of course, it's like there's a lot of money in the salmon aquaculture industry, and much like the tobacco company that the tobacco companies that like to deny that cigarette smoking caused cancer, the salmon farm industry wants to deny that their farms are taking a toll on wild salmon. But
well, and it just seems it's kind of like with cattle, how they're feeding them corn, which is not a natural food for them, and here they're feeding fish grains, which mm-hmm. you know, where would they get grains in the ocean?
Right.
That's right. Well, pretty much any protein we eat is being fed grains and corn and soybeans, mm-hmm. and that's why the omega-6 is such a big issue. That most of those foods are very, very high in those omega-6s.
Mm-hmm. Is it true that farm salmon flesh is actually gray and they have to feed it dye in order to make it orange?
That is true. They're not eating a natural diet, you know, krill that the wild salmon are getting. One of our most popular products is the sockeye salmon, which is also known as red salmon. And the flesh, if you've ever seen it, is just a beautiful, bright orange, almost red orange.
Mm.
And that comes from the natural carotenoids in their diet. Farm salmon aren't getting that, so it has to be added. And
sockeye is delicious.
Synthetic version, same type of chemical or same type of molecule are added to the diet. And it's also called, you know, it goes by some of the same names, but as it's been explained to me, it's a different molecular isomer, so it isn't utilized in the same way that a natural form of the carotenoid would be utilized.
Well, we are going to take a break right now, and we'd love to talk more about farmed fish when we come back, because that is there's more to it than that, I think, that we haven't covered. So we'll be right back.
And there's a lot of good news with the wild fish too.
Oh, so good. Okay.
We cover that. Okay.
We'll be right back with Randy Hartnell, Food Integrity Now.
You are looking for some flavorful, healthy, fresh food. Come out to Maximilian's Cafe in Woodland Park, Colorado, focusing on local, fresh ingredients with a changing seasonal menu. Located at 209 East Midland Avenue, Woodland Park, Colorado, right off Highway 24 in downtown. Our walls are full of local artist artwork, and on Friday and Saturday nights, we feature local singers, songwriters, and performers to entertain you while you relax and enjoy a fun environment, a glass of wine, and fantastic food. Open 7 days a week from 11 to 9 p.m., 11 to 8 p.m. on Sunday and Monday.
Are you seeking understanding and assistance in healing your depression and anger or lack of passion? Hi, my name is Tammy Urbanek at Empowerment Through Healing. And I'm a medium clairvoyant who can work with your spirit guides to assist you. Your spirit guides can offer solutions and understanding at current life issues that you're facing. Visit www.empowermentthroughhealing.com for more information, and you can call me at 719-641-2017.
Experiencing anxiety, anger, depression, or low self-esteem? Do you beat yourself up or sabotage what you truly want to achieve? Hi, this is Jeannie Smith, and at Open Heart Healing, I combine counseling, gestalt therapy, and Tai Chi energy work to assist those who truly desire to bring quality and joy back into their lives. My office is located on South Perry Street here in Castle Rock. Call me for a free consultation at 303-660-6373. Again, that's 303-660-6373 or visit me at openhearthealing.com.
Welcome back to Food Integrity Now. Our guest today, Randy Hartnell of Vital Choice Seafood. Before we took that break, Randy was giving us an overview of his company, Vital Choice, an online source for wild Alaskan seafood and organic products. And we were going over some of the negative aspects of farmed salmon. And what we'd like to hear are, you know, how is the wild salmon population doing, Randy?
Well, I'm happy to report that it's doing very well in Alaska, which is where about 95% of the wild salmon that makes its way into the U.S. Originates. Few people realize that in 1959, Alaska pursued statehood. One of the primary reasons they did that was to take control of their fisheries back from the federal government, which wasn't doing a very good job of managing it. And so when they became a state, they wrote right into their constitution that all fisheries would be managed on a sustainable yield basis, which basically gave a priority to ensuring that the runs were protected. And that continues to be in effect today. And as somebody who participated in those fisheries for a long time and became intimately familiar with the way that the management system works, I can tell you that they're doing a great job. And as a result, the fisheries are healthy. I think in the last 10 years, they've had, 5 of the last 10 years, they've had record salmon runs. So it's really a good news story. If you see, if you're out shopping and you see Alaska salmon, that's also a good sign that it's not wild, as long as it's legitimately labeled, because there is no farmed salmon raised in Alaska.
Mm. Oh, good. Is there any way for someone in the store to be sure that the salmon that they're buying that is labeled wild really is wild and not just being mislabeled? And
what I often tell people is just, choose vendors that you can trust, because there is a tremendous amount of fraud in the marketplace. I'm not aware of any surveys or investigations that have been done in the last year or two, but I know 3 or 4 years ago there were several. The Consumer Reports did one. The New York Times did one. We've had our own experience traveling around the country and going into stores and seeing, obviously, farmed salmon labeled as wild. So generally, wild salmon will have much less fat in it. You'll notice that Atlantic salmon is a light orange, and it'll have thick white lines of fat running through it. It's almost always a sign that it's farmed. One exception might be a really rich king salmon, wild king salmon, also is a little bit fattier. But the big thing would be the price. Wild salmon costs more to harvest and transport, and it's generally going to be more expensive. The other thing is if you go into a restaurant and it has, I've traveled all over the country, gone to restaurants, a lot of places, and you almost never see wild salmon, and so when I do see it, I'll order it because I want to support the restaurants that are making the investment in it. And I'd say at least half the time it's mislabeled. And as you mentioned earlier, Susan, it tastes different. Generally, oftentimes it'll have a kind of a heavy, greasy flavor just because of the different fat profile. If they are really going to invest in wild salmon, they should always know where it comes from. They generally will know where it comes from, and it will almost always be Alaskan. They don't know. If you ask them and they can't tell you where it came from, I would assume that it's probably farmed salmon.
Is there any Atlantic salmon left?
Not commercially available. There are a few Atlantic salmon runs in the Northeast, but I don't believe there are any commercial fisheries left. So I think it's safe to say that any Atlantic salmon you see in the store is the farmed version.
Okay. Well, I'm really happy to hear to see the selection of products on your website and know that this is available. Why don't you give your website address for our listeners who are at home on the computer? They can check it out and see what you have to offer.
We are at vitalchoice.com. Vitalchoice.com. All of our products have 100% satisfaction guarantee, and we're able to do that again because we source the very best products. And it's very important to us that our customers are satisfied.
Great.
We have a very high repeat order rate, I think, because people realize that it's hard to find products that are of the quality that we sell elsewhere.
Yeah, I've ever since the Gulf oil gusher happened, definitely been concerned about the going out to eat for seafood and the source of the seafood I eat. Basically, not because of the oil, but because of the dispersants they put in the Gulf. What is your point of view on the health of the Gulf seafood right now?
You know, I am not an oil chemist or as a consumer, it's hard for me, and it's hard for me to say anything negative about it because I know that those fishermen down there are hurting, and I heard that the seafood is okay. But face it, we all heard of, we all watched that pipe letting loose for months and the dispersants, and so it's hard to choose that product. And
mm-hmm.
I also feel for them because when I was fishing, I was fishing in Prince William Sound when the Exxon Valdez spill happened, which of course was much smaller than that disaster, but nevertheless, it was it ruined the way of life for many fishermen and people that live in that area. So my heart goes out to them. As far as seafood, though, I would have a hard time sourcing it from there, at least without more reassurance that it really is cleaned up down there.
Yeah, we had Susan got the Gulf Impact Project Gulf Impact
mm-hmm.
right on the show about a month ago, and they had some pretty startling results in terms of independent testing of the shrimp that some people had purchased on the docks for dispersants, and definitely doesn't make me feel good about that. You sell shrimp on your website, right, Randy?
Yeah, ours are wild spot prawns that are harvested by one fisherman off the coast of British Columbia.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes Alaska. And he freezes them right on his boat alive, right after he catches them. And so they're really a wonderful product and not something you can find very many places. Most shrimp are treated with
ammonia?
Sulfites or different types of solutions to prevent them from turning colors. They have an enzyme they release when they expire that can tend to turn them a dark color. It took us about 2 years to find a fisherman that was willing to put some up without doing that.
Wow.
Not cheap, but they're really special.
I'm going to have to order some because I haven't had shrimp in a long time because I haven't trusted any of the shrimp in the store.
Well, these are the next best thing to getting them yourselves in your own pot.
Good. You have to pay for quality. One time I was at someone's house and they served this shrimp cocktail that it was so bad. It must have wanted to change those colors, but the preservatives in there were keeping it looking somewhat normal. But it was gross. I can't believe it was considered food.
Yeah, we occasionally will go down to Mexico, and I always love going down to the Pacific side, and they have fresh shrimp, and it's just wonderful to get it right there on the beach. And so we were down there a couple months ago and we ordered our favorite shrimp dish, and it came and the shrimp were terrible. And come to find out, they had started farming freshwater shrimp down there, and that's mm-hmm. what everybody was using, or many people were using, and it's a whole different flavor experience, I guess I could say.
Going back to the farming, there's an aspect of it that I'd heard that it doesn't just affect the fish in the area, but also the communities in the area. Are you familiar with that, or do you have any?
Oh, sure. Yeah, not only the human communities, but there are a lot of fauna and flora that depend on those salmon runs, the wild salmon runs, and to the extent that they're displacing the wild salmon runs, which, as I said, there's a lot of history elsewhere in the world where they've done that. It can impact the whole food chain. Mm-hmm. One of the most fascinating bits of information that I've ever heard about that is that scientists have tested the trees along river banks, and up to 17% of the nitrogen in those trees they can trace back to the salmon that swam up the stream, spawned, died, and then bear and bird would feed on them and drag them up into the woods, or eat them and pass through the animal and fertilize the forest. And so when you wipe out those salmon runs, you impact bears and eagles and trees and any human communities that rely on them, which a lot of people have been relying on them for centuries, millennia.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, I'd like to hear more about, I didn't know they farm shrimp, which, I guess is pretty expected. But we're going to take a break right now, and
sure.
But when we come back, I'd love to hear about more of what's going on with the aquaculture world and what are all the fish that are being farmed right now. You're listening to Food Integrity Now. We're talking with Randy Hartnell of Vital Choice Seafood. We'll be right back.
Linda Masterson, Soul Purpose Astrologer, works with astrological tools and with guides in the non-physical to assist ones in knowing their soul purpose. Important in this process is identification of significant blockages. In each session, tools are provided for working with self to clear resistance and free talents, skills, and abilities to fuller expression. The goal is to take responsibility for and to accelerate the healing process. Phone sessions are offered by Linda. Please visit Linda at lindamasterson.com or call 808-651-0307. Again, that's 808-651-0307.
I'm Carol Gervais, and I'm a certified life coach and one of the hosts of the Food Integrity Now show right here on Castle Rock Radio. Have you ever dreamed of swimming with the wild and free dolphins? I'm not talking about the ones in captivity like the ones at Dolphin Quest. I'm talking about swimming with them in the wild. If this is something you've only dreamt about doing, I invite you to mark this off your bucket list now and join me for an all-inclusive trip to swim with the wild dolphins. Your trip to paradise will include organic gourmet meals, ocean waterfront accommodations, Lomi Lomi massage, and much more. What are you waiting for? Now is the time to make your dream a reality. For more information, go to wilddolphinswimadventures.com or contact me at carol@coachwithcarol.com or 719-687-7447. Once again, that's 719-687-7447. Mahalo.
Welcome back to Food Integrity Now. I'm Matt Spaeth. We were talking with Randy Hartnell of Vital Choice Seafood. Randy, we had a question come in that we'd like to ask real quick. Tell us about how the delivery process works. What is the how quick can someone ordering off your website get seafood at their door?
Well, we ship second day air, so when the order comes in, we process it. We ship FedEx. On Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. So it just depends on when you order. If you order on the weekend, we would ship it out Monday, and you would receive it Wednesday. Those are the frozen items. We also have a very nice line, an extensive line of premium canned seafood products also, salmon, tuna, sardines, et cetera. And those go ground. Those would take 4 or 5 days, depending on where you live. We ship out of Bellingham, Washington. So we're up here in the Northwest. And we ship all over the country. Lots of customers in Florida and New York and Arizona. And generally, it's a pretty reliable process.
Great. So it comes to your door on dry ice? Is that how it works?
The frozen products ship on dry ice, yes.
Okay.
And we also ship into Canada now, and we've had a lot of success with that. So any of your listeners are up there, we can get our products to them as well.
Oh, great. So let's get on to the farmed seafood. What all out there is being farmed right now?
I want to preface my comments about this by saying that we are not opposed to aquaculture. We're in a situation now where the population is obviously expanding, and our oceans cannot produce any more wild seafood beyond the levels that they've been producing now for a few years. We're kind of flatlining, and so our belief, and the belief of a lot of the scientists that we work with, is that humans, some of the healthiest food in the world comes out of the oceans. It's got full complement of nutrients, kind of the whole package of nutrients and fats. And so we're not opposed to aquaculture. In fact, I think aquaculture is going to, it's inevitable that it will expand. What our objection is to the, when you're farming a carnivore like a wild salmon that requires, needs to be fed other fish, that's when you get into trouble. So the most common farm species that you'll find are catfish. Tilapia is a huge one now. Barramundi is becoming more popular. And then, of course, shrimp. I don't know what the exact number is, but I would say probably more than 70-80% of the shrimp that you find in the stores is farmed, and much of it in Southeast Asia in very unsustainable ways. If I could recommend a book to your readers, it's called Bottom Feeder,
mm-hmm.
By Tara Skresko. Maybe you're familiar with it. The tagline is How to Eat Ethically in a World of Vanishing Seafood.
No, that sounds like a great book.
Yeah, it's an excellent book, and you probably will have a hard time buying shrimp after you read this. But he travels around the world and talks about the nitty-gritty of how different things are raised.
Are there farms right now that are using better practices in how they farm the fish?
The environmental community, as far as salmon goes, the environmental community has for years been trying to get salmon farmers to use closed containment farms, where they put a tank on the shore, and they have to treat the water. And of course, farming industry has a hard time with that, because it's much cheaper to let Mother Nature subsidize your sewage challenges, and cost money to run pumps and so on and so forth. So there are a few people that are trying to do it the right way. There's a company in Oregon, I believe, called Sweet Springs, and they are raising coho salmon freshwater in closed containment shore-based pens. And those are the only farm salmon that I'm aware of that have actually got a thumbs up from the environmental community. But I'm not sure how they're going to be successful, because they have to charge so much to cover the cost of the higher production costs, that it's a big question as to whether or not they're going to be able to make it. But there are people out there trying to do it the right way. There's a Scottish farm salmon company called Loch Dwart that I haven't looked into it very closely personally, but I hear that it is they're among those that are trying to do it the right way.
I was doing some research into fish farming and if there was possible ways of doing it in a balanced manner for the earth. And have you heard of these trout farms that have sort of a permaculture system in which the waste from the trout, they would grow these trout in these pools surrounded by plants, and the waste from the trout would fertilize the plants and clean the water by the plants pulling the excess nutrients out.
I have heard of that, and I know there are, I think there, Peace Corps is involved in I just saw a presentation here a few months ago where people are going in and teaching, I think they're in India, and teaching them how to create little fish farms. And they're actually quite successful in producing a lot of good protein for the local communities. And so there are some people doing it the right way. And as I said, I think aquaculture is going to continue to grow. The Japanese are really excelling at growing seaweed and shellfish. They've got, in some areas, entire bays that are devoted to shellfish aquaculture, which basically they just create artificial reefs and plant the shellfish, and they grow, and sort of Mother Nature takes over at that point. So they're not having to go thousands of miles and harvest megatons of seafood to feed those species. They get what they need right out of the local environment. They're filtering the water at the same time. So
that's cool. I was wondering about that the other day. I was thinking, hey, maybe I can grow my own seaweed. I love seaweed. It's a great veggie, and it's becoming increasingly hard to get quality produce for a good price.
It's true. You know, it's got, like I said, most of our farmland is pretty depleted. And, you know, the farmers keep putting the nitrogen and the potassium and the half a dozen different nutrients into the soil to get their corn or whatever to grow. But when you think about the fact that the earth has been eroding for millions of years, and all of that erosion, all those nutrients and minerals have been flushed out into the ocean. And so the ocean is a thick soup of the full spectrum of minerals. And of course, there are some bad things in there too, but that's something, that's another story.
Let's
talk about that too, if you like.
Let's talk about some of the nutritional benefits of seafood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the omega-3s, the omega-6s, what is the most nutrient-dense fish out there?
Well, of course, you have what's commonly referred to as the oily fish, the sardines, and basically the cold water fish. And the reason the cold water fish have so many of these omega-3s is omega-3 is a very active, bioactive molecule. It's one of the fats that solidifies at very low temperatures. So if fish can swim around with all this fat in their body in extremely cold temperatures, then they don't freeze up, because they've got these omega-3 molecules. So cold water fish are generally where these important omega-3s are most concentrated. So sardines, wild salmon, tuna, cold water tuna, pretty much any fish that comes out of Alaska, for the most part, the fattier fish. But over the last year, I've traveled to London and Netherlands and Australia, and traveled around to different conferences, scientific conferences, where the question you asked has been sort of the prime topic. What about the nutritional benefits of seafood? And it's been fascinating. There's a school of thought that says that this exploding incidence of mental health disorders is attributable to the chronic deficiency of omega-3s in our diet. It's not that you have to eat seafood to get omega-3s. Our body can generally make it normally could make omega-3 fats that we need for our brain and our neural system and our eyes, and pretty much every cell in our body. Body can make those if it's getting a sort of a normal traditional diet with an evenly low level of omega-6s. But where we get in trouble is we're eating all these omega-6s, which compete with the enzymes that our body needs to make omega-3s. So basically you have this huge omega-3 deficiency in our population, in any population that's eating a Western diet.
Yeah, and the other thing is that there's a lot of vitamin D deficiency. And,
that's right.
You know, you can go sit in the sun, or you can, you know, cod liver oil. If it's really good cod liver oil, it has a very high amount of vitamin A and D in the proper balance. But
one thing that's exacerbated the whole problem is in 2004, the FDA came out with this seafood advisory for pregnant nursing women. And essentially it said, you know, you should stay away from three or four different species, but it has been taken, has been interpreted as that pregnant nursing women should avoid seafood, or a lot of women have avoided seafood. And there was a big study that came out in UK a couple of years ago where they tested 12,000 women, and to make a long story, and I can give you the name of that if you want to look it up, or your listeners want to look it up, but basically they found that women who consumed the amount of seafood recommended by the FDA, which is like 2 6-ounce servings a week, had the children with the most developmental problems, antisocial mm-hmm. behavior. The mothers that ate the most seafood had the kids with as many as 4 IQ points higher. With this was published in The Lancet, so it's, you know, not an industry-backed study. It's a big, credible study that took place over many years. And essentially, the conclusion was that these these consumption guidelines actually cause the harm they're intended to prevent.
Right. I mean, and it makes sense why they did that. I mean, for the high mercury content that can be in seafood, but it obviously doesn't.
Well, the interesting thing.
Go ahead,
Susan. That I discovered over the last year, and like I said, we sell only the purest fish. So we mm-hmm. and we made a big deal out of that over the years because that's one of the chief concerns of people and of ourselves, of course, too. But what we've learned is that there has never, this is shocking, very few people can believe it, I couldn't believe it, but there has not been one peer-reviewed, published study linking, you know, common seafood consumption and mercury toxicity. Mm. And I've challenged people to produce one, and nobody can do it. So what happened is that the FDA looked at 2 studies, one in the Faroe Islands, where people were eating pilot whale meat, which has a, you know, it's a big top of the food chain mammal, marine mammal, and they also looked at the Seychelles Islands, which is another study that's been going on 18 or 20 years, and they eat about 10 or 20 times as much seafood as people in the U.S. And the study in the Faroe Islands showed that there were toxic impacts on the children. The study in the Faroe Islands showed no negative impacts. In fact, like the Alsbach study, it showed positive correlations. In other words, the people that ate the most fish had the highest mercury levels, actually had the healthiest kids. Mm. And everybody was puzzled by this. And the FDA, when they went to write their advisory, it just didn't make sense. So they threw out the Seychelles Island study and didn't even consider it. They instead went to the Faroe Island study, which was based on pilot whale. Who in the world eats pilot whale outside of the Faroe Islands?
Wow. Exactly.
So over 170 scientists, this was a meeting that took place in May in London, in Maastricht, I'm sorry. Over 170 scientists signed a letter to the FDA, Margaret Hamburg at the FDA, basically laying out, you know, what's the situation, where a lot of people are being harmed by the advisory, mm-hmm. requesting that they revise it and, mm-hmm. and consider benefit. The bottom line was that the benefits vastly outweigh any hypothetical risk, and there really is no evidence of risk.
That is nice to hear. Well, we have to take a break right now, and we'll be right back with Randy Hartnell, Food Integrity Now.
For some flavorful, healthy, fresh food, come out to Maximilian's Cafe in Woodland Park, Colorado. Focusing on local, fresh ingredients with a changing seasonal menu. Located at 209 East Midland Avenue, Woodland Park, Colorado, right off Highway 24 in downtown. Our walls are full of local artist artwork, and on Friday and Saturday nights, we feature local singers, songwriters, and performers to entertain you while you relax and enjoy a fun environment, a glass of wine, and fantastic food. Open 7 days a week from 11 to 9 p.m., 11 to 8 p.m. on Sunday and Monday.
Are you seeking understanding and assistance in healing your depression and anger or lack of passion? Hi, my name is Tammy Urbanek at Empowerment Through Healing. and I'm a medium clairvoyant who can work with your spirit guides to assist you. Your spirit guides can offer solutions and understanding your current life issues that you're facing. Visit www.empowermentthroughhealing.com for more information, and you can call me at 719-641-2017.
Experiencing anxiety, anger, depression, or low self-esteem? Do you beat yourself up or sabotage what you truly want to achieve? Hi, this is Jeannie Smith, and at Open Heart Healing, I combine counseling, Gestalt therapy, and Tai Chi energy work to assist those who truly desire to bring quality and joy back into their lives. My office is located on South Perry Street here in Castle Rock. Call me for a free consultation at 303-660-6373. Again, that's 303-660-6373, or visit me at openhearthealing.com.
Welcome back to Food Integrity Now with our guest, Randy Hartnell. Before we took the break, we were talking about mercury in seafood and some tests that Randy was citing about the effects of the mercury in the seafood and the FDA response to that. I was just thinking that it's pretty funny that the FDA is touting these concerns over the level of mercury in the seafood and telling people not to eat it, while at the same time telling people that mercury in vaccines is safe.
Yes.
That is ironic, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, one of the most fascinating things about that whole story is that, you know, I mean, like I said, here you have 170, more than 170 of the leading scientists from around the world that aren't industry affiliated. These are people that are looking out, and they just want the science to get out there. But the environment at the FDA is, so it's just so political that they hadn't even got a response. As a couple of weeks ago, when I last spoke to one of the scientists, he said that they are just can't believe that they've presented all this evidence, and they can't even get the courtesy of an acknowledgement of their letter.
Wow! And when was that submitted?
Pardon?
When was that letter
submitted? It was submitted last May.
Oh wow!
Last May. If anybody's interested in that and wants to email me, I'd be happy to forward a copy of it to them. Just email me, randy@vitalchoice.com.
Yeah, we'd like to get a copy of that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I'll be happy to email you a copy of that. The other thing is, there is a website, and it, I will say up front that it does have industry, you know, seafood industry backing, but as somebody who, like I said, we don't sell fish with much mercury in it anyway. So I'm just driven by the desire to expose to clarify the misinformation. So there's a website out there called mercuryfacts.org. And from my perspective, it's pretty straight. It's got a lot of science on there, and it is industry funded to a certain extent, but it's just that the industry is trying to fight back against a lot of people with alternative agendas. Their agendas are not the public's well-being. They have trying to fight coal plants and a lot of environmental agendas. So a lot of this stuff is promoted by the vegan lobby, people trying to scare others away from eating fish for a variety of reasons. And so mercuryfacts.org has a lot of good information. One other really important factor, if I've got a minute here, I'd just like to talk about it. That is one issue that very few people know about is the role of selenium in mercury detoxification. And what's come out is that what makes methylmercury toxic is that it has a very strong binding affinity with selenium. And selenium is an antioxidant that's in every cell. It's required for the normal functioning of every cell. So if you take in a large amount of methylmercury, it binds with the selenium, you excrete it, or basically renders it inert, and that causes problems. What the mechanism is that is protecting people from, and you need only look at Japan and other seafood consuming populations, and not where they live longer, they have lower infant mortality rates, lower rates of cancer and heart disease, pretty much every, you know, why aren't these people mercury toxic? If you believed everything that you read about how bad mercury is, people would be falling over right and left in places like Japan and China and Taiwan and Okinawa, where, but in contrast, these are some of the healthiest people on Earth. Well, the mechanism is that seafood is one of the richest sources of selenium, and almost every species that you get out of the ocean has way more selenium in it than methylmercury. And we've actually written about this. We have a great newsletter on our website that I'd invite your viewers to subscribe to. It's really wonderful, well-written, and we've got a lot of articles about this type of all these topics that we've discussed. But essentially, when you buy salmon or you buy tuna, yeah, there is a trace level of mercury in it, but there's a lot of this selenium. So basically, you're taking the antidote with poison.
The poison. Wow, yeah, that is so good to know. I feel much better about eating fish.
Yeah,
no, it's good news. It's fantastic news, and I just hope that it gets out there. And this is in that letter to the FDA.
Great. I was just checking out the Paracone pack that you have on the website. I know that the Dr. Paracone's book, The Paracone Prescription, is a bestseller.
That's an interesting story. When I was still a fisherman about 10 years ago, I was in San Francisco. I'd been fishing, and I happened to have this little television on in my boat, and it was playing a PBS special by this guy who was promoting a book called The Wrinkle Cure. And I thought, what in the world is PBS running a show about The Wrinkle Cure? It just didn't add up. But make a long story short, it turned out that it was Dr. Paracone. That's the first time I'd ever seen him. And his Wrinkle Cure was basically a salmon diet. And not only was he were promoting, you know, eating salmon frequently, but he was one of the very few sort of thought leaders out there, health gurus out there that recognized the difference between wild and farm. And he said, look for wild salmon. So my wife and I were just starting Vital Choice. I got kind of excited. I wrote him a letter and said, you know, it's great that you're recommending wild salmon, but almost nobody in your audience knows where in the world to find it. Mm-hmm. And we're starting a company, and we could ship it to the people that you're advising, and make your recommendations a lot more relevant. And he responded, and he's since published 7 or 8 different books, and he's never asked for a penny from us other than, you know, we ship him. He orders salmon from us still to this day, and he's promoted us in all his books. So he's driven a lot of sales and generated a lot of customers for us, and we really appreciate it.
I'm a huge fan of salmon jerky. I notice you don't have salmon jerky on your site. Why is that?
Actually, we do. We do. In fact, we're just about to introduce a new and improved version. So.
Oh, great. I'll be sure to pick some of that
there. I think it's under the sockeye salmon.
Okay,
or
good.
You can put jerky into the search window and you'll find it.
Great. So we're delighted to have this as a resource. We often get requests from our listeners and our friends what are recommendations for food sources, and we've covered a lot of ground in the produce area with CSAs, and it's great to know that there's a good choice for seafood out there, because we kind of weren't sure where to go, to send all of our listeners to go and check it out and to get their seafood. So we're really happy to have you as a resource.
And, well, it's a win-win, because we love what we do, and we take a tremendous amount of pride in sending people stuff they love and that they can't get elsewhere, and we get lots of great letters back from people.
I've got
a minute, I just want to mention one other thing that I say that, you know, I talk about how it's hard to find salmon at the grocery stores. It's getting easier because more and more people are distinguishing it and demanding wild salmon. So occasionally in stores like Whole Foods and Trader Joe's, you can find wild salmon, and that's a good, inexpensive option. And almost every grocery store has canned salmon, usually pink and red salmon. And a lot of us grew up, maybe our grandma or whatever, made salmon patties out of pink salmon, and maybe it didn't taste very good, and so we kind of got turned off to canned salmon. But generally, canned salmon is Alaskan. You should look for Alaskan. It's economical. It's We have a really wonderful line of canned salmon on our site, but you can find it in most grocery stores, and it's probably one of the most unappreciated nutritional powerhouses on the shelves, because they really don't add anything to it except a little bit of salt. And this is as opposed to most tuna that you find in the stores. That's a whole different story.
Yeah, I've seen salmon. I've seen the pink salmon in the cans. It's pretty
good.
A lot
of people will choose that because it's much, it's considerably less expensive. But I think you'll have a much better culinary experience generally if you choose the red salmon, pay a little more for it.
And don't you have plans to start selling your products in stores also?
Not really. We get asked that a lot, but there are a couple reasons. It's not really our focus is the sort of obsession with quality. The bottom line is that if you want the best quality, you have to pay more for it, and grocery stores just don't distinguish. If somebody comes and is willing to sell them a can of fish for 10 cents cheaper, that's the route they're going to go, because in their mind, wild salmon is wild salmon. And the truth is that a lot of suppliers will put the lower quality fish in a can, and we tend to source our canned products from people who put the best fish in the can. So it's hard to compete in retail without sacrificing your quality standards, and that's why we don't generally do it.
Go ahead and give us your website again, Randy.
Vitalchoice.com.
Great, and we'd love to have that listed on our website so our listeners can easily access your site.
Fantastic. Again, I want to give a plug to our newsletter. It's got great science-based information. We have lots of recipes and specials and promotions and all that kind of thing. We announce new products. It's a great resource. We get lots of positive feedback.
Great. I'll get on there and sign up.
Thank you so much. We've enjoyed talking to you, and this has been a lot of great information, things that I didn't know. I learned a lot today. So thank you very much, Randy.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
And be sure and join us next week. We're going to have William Engdahl back on the show.
Great.
William, if you didn't catch the show, it was in December. If you want to listen on the archives, Castle Rock Radio Archives or foodintegritynow.org archives. He talked about his book, Seeds of Destruction, and it was a very interesting look at the history of food and why we are in the predicament we're in now with genetically modified foods on the market. And we're going to be talking with him about a couple of his other books and just taking kind of more of a step back to look at some of the history, some of the things that are happening in the world that probably we've heard a certain spin on, and we don't really know the whole story. So this will be very interesting, as it was last time. So be sure and join us again next time.
Have a great week.
Integrity Now.
We'll tune in next Wednesday. We'll see you then.